Thank you, sir. Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This will be the third sermon from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And will probably, most likely, be the last. I thought about this as I wrapped up the preparation of the sermon. I thought about this, that David and Brian, if either of you men have a sermon on Romans 12, 1 and 2, that covers any area that maybe I've not covered or covers it better, let me know and we'll tack you on the next couple of weeks and we'll bring this to a fuller conclusion. Just let me know. Last Sunday, I focused the message on the phrase, be not conformed to this world. In the words of the Apostle Paul to the Romans, I use this phrase, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, that if you have not heard that sermon, to please find it. It's easy to find. If you can't find it, let me know. Set aside 35 minutes to either watch or listen to it. And as several people have already done, share it with your Christian family and friends. This morning I want to focus on the words of the apostle when he refers to the renewing of our mind. You see, the answer to being conformed to the world, which we should not be, we should not be conformed to this world. And I do not want to go back and re-preach last Sunday's sermon. I do wish you'd listen to it if you haven't. But the answer to being conformed to the world is to be transformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Be not like the world, but be changed. Be changed. I'm sure that everyone in this room is probably familiar with the little transformer toys, and maybe also the movies. But I never saw any of the movies, but I've seen plenty of the toys. A little toy car or a little toy truck. You twist and pull it and stretch it and it turns and changes into a mechanical robot. I assume the movies follow the same type of theme. But you have a little car or a little truck, and a little boy pushes it along, and then he can stop and he can twist and pull and turn. And all of a sudden, it's changed into a mechanical robot. This is what we're talking about. Going from being conformed to the world to being changed and conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being changed. Romans chapter 8, verses 29 and 30, the apostle says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. To be conformed to the image of his son. Now it goes on and talks about how those he predestinated that he saved and he called and saved and will eventually glorify. But I need you to see this and understand this. One of the goals in God saving us is that we would be conformed to the image of his son. The Bible says that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate them, he also called, and those he called them, he justified, and those he justified them, he also glorified. But do you see the goal there? Do you understand the goal in Romans 8, 29 and 30 is to be predestined to be conformed to the image of his son? The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, is speaking about the first Adam. chapter number 15. He's speaking about the first Adam, the natural man, the earthly Adam. And then he references the second Adam, the spiritual and heavenly Jesus Christ. If you ever hear a preacher talk about the second Adam, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The first Adam plunged us into sin, and the second Adam made a way for us to be brought out of sin. Adam, the first man created, is the one that sinned and plunged the human race into sin. Jesus Christ is the one that made a way for us to come out of that sin. And the Apostle Paul says in verse 49 of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and as if we have borne the image of the earthly, as we have borne the image of the earthly Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now, if you want to argue that Romans 8:29 and 1 Corinthians 15:49 is referring to the future and heavenly transformation of the believer, I certainly will not argue with you about that, okay? Because there will come a day when all believers will be perfectly like the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to point out to you Romans chapter 13 and verse number 14, where the Apostle Paul tells the Christians at Rome to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and to not make provision for the flesh. What Paul is trying to impress upon those at Rome and those at Corinth, and actually you can find it in almost all of his letters, is that you and I are to be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be like Christ and not like this world. Paul also again tells the Christians at Corinth that those who are in Christ, they can see clearly the glory of the Lord and are being changed or being transformed into his image and into his glory. This is what we've called in the past, and I preached on it recently, on progressive sanctification. Every believer in this room, every true Christian in this room, should be day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out, being less and less and less like this world, and more and more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. We were predestined to be conformed to the image of God's dear Son. We are to be more and more like him. We are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Brother and sister, the point here is this, that we are not to be conformed into the image of this world. We are not to be conformed into the ways of this world, but we are to more and more be transformed and changed into the image of God's dear Son. We are to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul tells the Christians at Ephesus, like I said, Paul deals with this in almost all of the letters that he writes. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He saved us that we would be holy. He saved us that we would be in the image of his dear Son. He saved us that we would be less like the world and more like Christ. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 24, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. You and I ought to be getting out of the old man, taking off the old man, putting on the new man. There's so many places in the Bible where the Christian is exhorted to be less and less like this wicked world and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is filled with warnings to God's people to not be like the wicked. The Old Testament is filled with warnings to God's people to not be like the wicked. The New Testament is filled with exhortations to put off the old and put on the new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, a verse that you're very, very familiar with. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. What things are passed away? What things? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. Brother and sister, you and I are to be daily attempting to put off the world and our conformity to the world and our likeness to the world. And we're to be putting distance between us and the ways of the world and the philosophies of the world and the evil and wicked worldview. We're to be putting space between us. Someone has said, and probably both the preachers in the room will have heard this. Someone has said that the church has always been a distance from the world. It always has. But the problem, someone has said, is this. That as the world moves further and further into wickedness and evil, the church keeps its distance, but it follows along. Keeping just a distance, but following along. And maybe even gaining. I said last week, in many cases, it's hard to discern and tell the world from the church. Amen. The way it ought to be is the world is the church is stationary and let the world move away from it. That's the way it ought to be. But the church just seems to be following afar off. When we ought to be stationary on the Word of God and let the world go. Let them go. Let them go as far as they want to go. Here we stand on the Word of God. But no, we're following the world at a distance. This is the very heart of the sermon here in Romans chapter 12. The very heart of the series. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. I want to give you a couple of scriptures to segue into the real meat of the message. I want to give you a couple of scriptures that will segue into the remedy. What is the remedy? How do we break free from the mold of the world? How do we break free from the bonds of the world? How do we break free from the influence of the world? How can we break free of that? How do we become less like the world and more like the Lord Jesus Christ? How do we break the conforming mold of worldliness and put on the glory and beauty and holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ? The first scripture is Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Colossians chapter 3. And these two verses are going to segue into what is the remedy. Colossians 3, 9 and 10. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is what? Renewed in knowledge. After the image, these are all phrases that we've been using in the last few weeks. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Now the second verse to segue into this remedy is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. I love that verse right there. God has given to us as believers everything we need for life, and he's given to us everything that we need for godliness. Okay? Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. through the knowledge whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The remedy to worldliness and conformity to the world is a transformation or a renewing of our mind. Our thinking has to be changed. Our mind has to be changed. I remember a favorite singer, a Christian singer of mine back in the 70s and 80s. And someone said, all you Christians have been brainwashed. And his reply was this, so have you. The difference between us Christians and you is that we have chosen who we want to wash our brains. And he said, mine was a dirty, sick brain that needed a good scrub. I've chosen who I want to wash my brain. The truth is that our minds are shaped and molded by this wicked world. And they need to be washed. They need to be cleansed. Our minds need to be changed. Many wrong and even wicked ideas come to us through the families that we were born into, especially if we were not born into Christian families. Our minds were shaped by unsaved family members. If you were not born in a Christian household, then your family members, your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters, they help shape your mind in a way that is not godly. Grade schools and universities have poured into our minds many things that are wrong and many things that are wicked. Amen. This is a big offender right here. The grade schools from kindergarten all the way to 12th grade and then universities and whatnot have poured into our minds things that are not only wrong, but things that are wicked. Entertainment is, I don't know who's at greater fault here, but entertainment is especially guilty of instilling wrong ideas and wicked suggestions and false beliefs into our hearts and minds. Entertainment. Amen. Books and magazines, and now the vast world of the internet has pumped their evil, wicked views into our thinking. So if you were raised in a non-Christian family, if you went to public schools and public universities, if you watched television and movies, if you, picked up, you know, the old timers, Brother David, you know this is true. They preached against evil books. They preached a lot against evil books. And then evil magazines. And now the internet, you know, we got a generation now that has grown up completely submersed in the internet. And all of those things have warped our minds and given us a bad and evil and wicked outlook on the world. The person who's not a Christian absorbs wicked and vile stuff into their minds and they don't even know it. And Christians can be influenced as well if they're not careful. Christians can be influenced by these things if they are not careful. There's an inundation and domination by Satan, the god of this world, the prince and power of the air. Satan has infiltrated our minds. He has infiltrated our thinking. I said to someone the other day, he knew what he was doing when he invented the television. The Christian needs their minds renewed day by day. They need them washed and cleansed and recalibrated often. We need a steady diet of the knowledge of God to renew us and transform us. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our minds, as Paul reminds the Ephesian believers. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. The inward man needs to be renewed, Paul says, day by day. To the Corinthian believers, the inner man needs to be renewed day by day. This world is pumping their stuff into our minds day by day. Every day, every day, every day. through entertainment, through education, through the internet, through books and magazines, through universities and schools. Every day, every single day, our mind is being inundated with the wickedness of the world. Listen, 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 believer, you can't get along with just 1 hour on a Sunday morning. Your inner man needs to be renewed and refreshed and cleansed and recalibrated day by day. If we continue to allow the world to control our thinking and feed their wickedness into our minds, we will then very easily be conformed to their unrighteous mold. And we will end up thinking that right is really wrong, and wrong is really right. Because that is the goal of the world. That is the goal of the world. The scripture even says that. Getting us to think that right things are wrong and that wrong things are right. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 and verse 23 says this. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Brother and sister, Paul says to the Ephesian Christians as well as to you, walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having your understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through ignorance because of the blindness of their heart, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul writes to Timothy and warns him of men with corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. Paul warns Timothy about men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth. In Paul's second letter to Timothy, he reminds him again. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, and reprobate concerning the faith. It is, brother and sister, a battle of the mind. It is a battle of the mind. We need to understand that the believer and the unbeliever do not think alike, and they should not think alike. Satan has blinded the minds of those that are of this world. Satan has blinded the minds of those that are unsaved. And Jesus has opened the eyes and changed the minds of those that are His and those that are in Him. Brother and sister, it is right. It is good. It is proper. It is the way it should be when you and the world do not see eye to eye. We see things differently. Well, the truth is, we see the truth and they don't. They're blinded to it. The Bible talks about the great delusion. I partly believe that it's maybe not a one-time event, but it is a progression. People seem to be getting more and more deluded. Their minds seem to be getting worse and worse. Just as I've preached about several times in the recent past, our sanctification is progressive. And part of that is, without debate, the renewing of our mind and renewing of our inner man day by day. Prayer and the reading and studying and meditating and memorizing of God's word is how we know and understand the mind of God. It's how we know and understand the word of God, and it's how we change our mind. It's through prayer. And through faithful reading and studying and meditating and memorizing, how shall young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. You know, the two things that probably preachers mention the most, and And I will admit that years ago, I might have kind of thought they were cliche. But you hear over and over the importance of prayer and reading your Bible. Brother and sister, that cannot be stated too much. Those are the two keys to the Christian life. Prayer and reading your Bible. And I know it sounds simplistic, and I know it sounds cliche, but it is the answer. No matter how simplistic it sounds, and no matter how cliche it sounds, and no matter how many times it is said, that is the answer. Having the mind of God leads to the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And having the mind of God helps us to break away from the conformity of the world. The word transformed in our text, Romans 12 and 2, is the very same word used to describe the transfiguration of Jesus on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. And you remember Jesus and Peter and James and John went up on the mount. Do you know what they went up there for? Do you know what they were doing at the time? Anybody know? They were praying. They went up to there to pray, and they were praying when Christ was transfigured and shone in his glory. And Peter, James, and John were so elated and so excited, they wanted to stay up there and bask in the glory of Christ. Same word, be transformed, same word as this transfiguration here. And this transfiguration of Christ on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration happened during prayer. Luke 9:29 tells us that they went up in the mountain to pray. And it says that Christ was transfigured as he prayed, the Bible says. Paul explains to the Christians at Ephesus that they are sanctified and cleansed by the washing power of the Word of God. Paul says that they are cleansed and sanctified by the washing power of the Word of God. So we are transfigured and transformed, and our mind is changed through prayer and through the Word of God. Our mind is cleansed through the Word of God. Ephesians 5:26, that he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of the water by the Word. The believer's mind and heart and lifestyle and actions are transformed by prayer and by the Word. The less that we pray, and the less that we read and study the Word, the more Satan warps and wrecks our minds. The less that we pray and study the Word, the more he inundates and dominates our mind. The more or the less that we pray and memorize and meditate on the Word, the more Satan defiles and dirties up our mind. And the more conformed we become to this wicked world. It's very simple, brother and sister. It's very simple. The less you pray and the less you read and study, the more opportunity for Satan to inundate and infiltrate your mind. The less we pray and study, the more opportunity for the world to dirty and dilute and defile our mind. Far too many professing Christians approach Christianity on the level of mindless emotions. A lot of Christianity is all about emotions. And people want a church where they get feelings and where they get, you know, Holy Ghost goosebumps and they get a shiver. And they want a song service that, moves them and sways them. And a lot of people in Christianity are looking for a feeling, for an emotional experience. A lot are. What we've been discussing this morning is approaching Christianity on an intellectual level, dealing with facts and truths of the Word of God. I'm not against emotions. Not against a brother and sister being moved to tears or moved to joy or move to excitement or to raise a hand. I'm not against emotions. But it ought to be the facts of the Word of God and the truths of the Word of God that move us. It ought to be, we ought to approach Christianity with an intellectual level, dealing with the facts and the truths of the Word of God. It's what we call doctrine. It's why doctrine's important. It's the truth of the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, what? Think on these things. The Bible says, study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study. Use our minds. Think. Use your intellect. Use the brain that God give you. Look at the facts. Understand the truths. And if God moves you with those facts and truths, then praise God for it. But way too many people that say they're a Christian, they're only looking for an emotional experience. Way too many. And you take that list I gave you last week that started with abortion and ended with effeminate men and it had about 15 things in between. You dare not approach those matters from an emotional point of view. Hear me now. You dare not approach those matters from an emotional point of view. You must approach sensitive, current matters like that from a spiritually intellectual point of view. What does God say in His Word? What is the mind of God? What is truth? That's how you approach those things. We must make a continual renunciation of the secular worldview and a continual day-by-day renewal of our mind, a continual transforming of our thinking based solely upon the Word of God, prayer, and the Spirit of God. You want to break out away from your worldliness? You want to break away from the conformity to the world? You want to have the mind of Christ. You want to be more like Christ. You're not going to be able to do it without the Word of God, without prayer, and without the Spirit of God guiding you. You're not going to be able to do it. And so when professing Christians get way off the reservation and start making emotional decisions and thinking emotionally and start conforming to the world, and professing Christians start taking up the mantle of the world and agreeing with the philosophies and the wicked positions of the world, you know what we know? We know. Their mind is not transformed by the Word of God. There's so much more that could be said from these two verses, so much more. And again, either one of you men, if you've got something, a message you'd like to tack onto this, you're more than welcome. But for now, may God bless the reading and teaching and preaching of His Word. May God bless His little flock at Beth Haven. And may God help us to be renewed in our inner man day by day, to be transformed, to be renewed in our mind. God help us to be faithful to His Word and to prayer, and obedient to the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. God, help us to put on the new man and to be conformed into the image as we were predestinated to do. Let us pray.